What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with another Friday edition of Phillies Today. Plenty to talk about today with the Phillies winning against the Pirates 5-1 last night in game one of that series. They also just had their first winning road trip in 13 years, believe it or not, as they take series from the Nats and Cardinals in Washington and St. Louis, respectively, this past week. And rather, I will say, uninspiring fashion, especially offensively, but series wins, our series wins, despite those struggles. So we'll get into that. We'll get into the rest of the Pittsburgh series this weekend. Some surprises and headlines with the Phillies and just from around the league as well, with baseball back in full swing here. So it's great to see. Feels like the Phillies may be at a potential turning point here to where they can kind of take off and go as the season is now 2 weeks old. And they have an opportunity against some teams that they could potentially beat here. So want to get into it. Want to get into this win, though, last night specifically, and the rest of the Pirates series here. But before I do, like I just said, they have a real opportunity here in the next week and a half. Three more at home against the Pirates this weekend. And then you have three against the Colorado Rockies, who, for my money, are the worst team in baseball this year. Oakland A's, anybody else, you put them next to the Colorado Rockies, I think, talent for talent, the Colorado Rockies are the worst team in baseball this year. And then you have three against the Chicago White Sox, who are right down there with them and are already injured all over the roster. They've had Luis Robert go down. He's out with hip flexor strain, 6 to 8 weeks, I believe. Eloy Jimenez hurt once again. It feels like he is just always hurt for them. Moncada on the IL as well. A ton of injuries to an already pretty terrible team. So, please, can we stop the early season overreactions, over concern? You just need them to play smarter baseball, be smarter on the base paths, be smarter at the plate as well, and just let the talent speak for itself and win some games here. They're a sweep away for this weekend for being 4 games over .500, and I have a feeling that that potentially could happen, and if it does, they could take off from there as they try to get the bats going a little bit here. So getting back to this Pirates series, Phillies win 5-1 last night in a game where the lineup finally comes through with some slug and hits three home runs against a Pirates team, which hasn't given up many of them to start the season. The Pirates getting off to a really good start here. So, but I want to start with Ranger Suarez here, because I think there are very few athletes in Philadelphia at this point that I enjoy watching more than Ranger Suarez. They're showing him on the pregame broadcast. He's warming up so nonchalantly. His hat's like half on, half off, and it's just so Ranger. And that's just when I feel like he's beyond locked in. And so he starts the game commanding all of his pitches really, really well, throwing a lot of fastballs, a lot of sinkers. Then he plays the changeup and the curveball off it. He's just able to dominate, really. He got 12 swing and misses, 8 strikeouts, season high already. He's pitching like an all-star, man. I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I believe he's the potential to be an all-star this season. When he's able to, kind of place his fastball and sinker where he wants to, which he was able to do really effectively early on tonight, got some sinkers inside on some right-handed hitters, made them look really uncomfortable. And then, get swing and misses on the changeup as well, which I think is potentially his nastiest pitch when it's on. It's scary. And I'll tell you what, he looks a lot better than the number two pitcher right now for this team, who has had a lot of trouble with his command. That is Aaron Nola. Has, walked the ballpark uncharacteristically at his first few starts this year. But, back to Ranger. First inning, it's just you can immediately tell he's locked in that zone. And then from there, he's just, playing his breaking stuff off it. And I'm just really impressed with what I'm seeing from Ranger right now. And he looks like a guy who, like I just said, could potentially, be an all-star caliber pitcher and has, performed like it so far. So getting to this lineup, though. First inning, immediately, you get Schwarber and Turner on. I think they had 2 pitches, 2 base hits for the two of them. Schwarber has been just, knocking in all the base hits, it feels like. I know he has a couple homers, but singles hitter, Kyle Schwarber? Nah, I'm kidding. But anyway, so they get the two of them on in the first inning. Then Bryce immediately hits into a double play, and JT gets out. And just the lack of hitting with men on, and more specifically guys in scoring position, has just been something that has cost them games early on here, no doubt about it, and has made games that they've won tighter than they should be as well. They've always scored over 5 runs once so far this season, and for an offense that has as much talent on paper that it does, you have to come up in these spots with men on, because if not, it's going to bite you eventually. And it also has something to do with the fact I feel like they've been struggling to get extra base hits in a way, too. They had their longest drought since 2022 before they obviously break through last night, starting with the Alec Boehm home run, which was massive for them. When you're not able to score in that first inning when you have multiple guys on base, then it becomes, you know, obviously very frustrating because they had the extra base hit drought and they just had been struggling kind of as an offense as a whole at that point. So you're looking for offense and aren't able to get it there in the first inning, but Alec Boehm comes through in the fourth inning for you off Jarrett Jones, who had a really, really good night for the Pirates, by the way. Really like him. Young, a lot of velocity, and I think he might be really good for them. But Alec Boehm gets a homer off him, straightaway center field. Really good swing there by Boehmer, who's been, I think, swinging it pretty decently. Had a couple big hits for them on the road trip, especially in that extra inning St. Louis game. So he gets the homer there. And something else I have to talk about, and had another great night last night, is Brandon Marsh. Brandon Marsh hits a massive two-run homer in the seventh inning last night off Jarrett Jones, who, again, really, really good, to make it 3-0 and, you know, get him out of the game there. And the opposite field power is just something that is great to see from Brandon Marsh. You saw it on opening day with the homer off Strider, who I'll get to Spencer Strider in a little bit as well. But it's just great to see from him. And I feel like he's always been a little hesitant to go the other way and kind of especially on the inside pitches, he'll try to pull and get it down the right field line. But he's been using the opposite field really well this year. And I'll officially say it. I've been hesitant to demand this from Topper, but I think that is officially time. Brandon Marsh needs to be in this lineup every freaking day against righties, lefties, doesn't matter. He needs to be an everyday player. He's in the 98th percentile in hard hit rate so far this season, 91st percentile in exit velocity, and his OPS is up to 942. So he's just locked in right now. Feels like there's a real approach to when he goes up there and is hitting left-handed pitching now, at least, where last year it felt like he's kind of just overmatched and it just wasn't really a comfortable at-bat for him. But his splits are probably always going to favor right-handed pitching. But as long as he doesn't look overmatched out there as he has in years past and he just keeps on getting better, I think he's earned the chance to be penciled in the lineup every day right now, especially with how, you know, Johan Rojas is hitting and Whit Merrifield isn't doing very much. And I just think that he is a bat you have to have in your lineup right now. And, hey, he's been your best hitter so far this year. And I think he's earned the chance to be able to go out there and take the field every day. So then you have Bryson Stott later in that inning after the Marsh homer, who needed a big hit badly after getting moved down the lineup past couple of nights. Hits a moonshot off the first reliever to come out of the bullpen, drawing a blank on his name, for the Pirates there to make it 5-0 and essentially ice the game. Again, going into last night, they hadn't had an extra base hit in what feels like forever. So it's good to be able to stack some of those together because I know it's early and I know the sample size is small and it should be taken with a grain of salt. But even last night, some of the Phil's big money guys are just failing to produce the plate right now. And it's kind of on a night-in, night-out basis with some of them to start the season. And it's frustrating and it's concerning too. You need more from Trey Turner at the plate and, you know, in the field as well. He's not filled his position well, shortstop. And you need more from Harper, who has struggled really aside from that three-homer game. And I'm not worried about Bryce. He'll come around because he always does. But it's just since that three-homer game, he really hasn't done much either. He had a pretty, you know, brutal road trip. And nobody struggled more, I will say, though, than Nick Castellanos. Man, Castellanos is in a big-time funk. And the article that just came out from Matt Gelb day or two ago basically talked about how Nick is trying to get his chase rate down with some adjustments early on here and that it's kind of messing up his timing and just the flow of his approach, because Nick is such a feel guy to where he's kind of just going up there and just whatever he's feeling he's going to end up, you know, doing at bat wise and approach wise. So I don't feel great about where Nick is at right now. The whiff and the chase percentages are still brutal. He's also not barreling up anything at the moment, which is a massive red flag to kind of indicate that he isn't seeing it great. But you just need more from these veteran guys, and I'm sure that it's coming, but man, it's frustrating. And when they aren't hitting in the middle of the order, it just feels like this lineup really struggles to break through. And then you pile that on top of, you know, the Rojas thing, which is kind of is what it is at this point until it gets to, you know, a juncture where he's either hitting enough to keep him up or he struggles so much that he gets sent down. But it just feels like the organization wants him to kind of go through the season and develop through the struggles and through, you know, some of the, you know, tough at-bats that he's had so far. But he had a good night in St. Louis the other night. But I still don't trust him in a big spot here. But then again, Whit Merrifield has also given you nothing so far. Really has not been very effective at the plate. I think he's batting under 150 here and has got like three hits on the season. So not much else from Whit Merrifield, not getting a ton of production there, which I like the Whit Merrifield signing at the time, but coming off a down year, this was something that you had to prepare for, that he wasn't going to be the Whit Merrifield, obviously, that was, you know, leading the league in hits in Kansas City. But it would be nice if he got more of them, and it'd just be nice if he got more from these veteran guys. But man, again, it's just really frustrating when you pile that on top of the Rojas thing. But Brandon Marsh, Bryson Stott, Alec Boehm, the daycare guys kind of come through last night and provide some offense for this team. So that was good to see. So good win last night. Would love to see some guys not named Boehm, not named Marsh, come through here this weekend. But the two of them have been really good over the past few days, especially when you expect some of the guys to the top to be producing as well. But they've kind of bailed them out and have gotten them a couple wins here. So, yeah, that is kind of where, you know, I'm at with that Pirates game last night and where I'm at with the lineup a little bit. But tonight, the Phils will be wearing the City Connect uniforms, I have to say. And by the way, I have to give my quick opinion on them. I think that they are better than the leaks from a few months back. And the hats, I think, are pretty cool, you know, with the skyline and the bell and the two stars. I think it represents the two stars that are in the Phillies logo. I think that's cool. But, man, the yellow and blue is just not my favorite colorway, especially for, like, the Phillies. I just don't, you know, coincide the Phillies, the blue and yellow, really, at all. And I don't even know. Like, I've lived in Philadelphia my whole life. I've grown up in the area. I know what the flag looks like, but I feel like if you ask 10 people on the street, not many would know what the Philadelphia City flag looks like. So I won't say I totally don't like them, but I just am not a fan of the colorway. So anyway, City Connect night tonight with the Phils sending Christopher Sanchez out to the mound against former Phillies left-hander. Welcome back, Bailey Falter. If he was sent to Pittsburgh after the deadline last season for Rodolfo Castro, who is now in Lehigh Valley. And I got to say, you simply can't lose to Bailey Falter, man. I just won't let it happen. Hopefully we get NLCS game for Bailey Falter. But he's coming off a really good start against the Orioles, where he went six shutout innings. But that is after he got shelled at his first start by the Miami Marlins, who are struggling big time. So we'll see which Bailey Falter the Phillies lineup gets tonight and if they can break out, you know, with some familiarity there. But he's generally a guy you can get to early. Had an ERA well above 5 first time around the order last year, and it's just not very good. So let's go here. The bat's got to wake up. Feels like a night where Nick could potentially wake up against, you know, a left-handed pitcher. So like I said last week, starting pitching has been fine for the Phils so far, and if this offense can just get going here this weekend, I think this team is exactly where you want it to be. So need them to get going here. You got Bailey Falter tonight, got an opportunity to take advantage of that. Christopher Sanchez, meanwhile, coming off a not-so-great start against the Nats where he gives up a lot of hard contact. Didn't get a lot of swing and miss either. Just feels like some of his command was never really there, and you know, thus he got behind in counts and had to lay some strikes in the zone, and he paid for it. He ended up giving up 3 earned runs in 4 1/3 in a loss, so you'd just like to see some more consistency and some more swing and misses tonight from Christopher Sanchez. Miss a few more barrels. Barrel percentage is definitely not where he wants it to be so far to start the year. But then on Saturday, we have a guy who has not struggled at all to begin the year for the Phillies on the mound facing former Mariner Marco Gonzalez, and that is Spencer Turnbull. And I got to talk about Spencer Turnbull for a minute because he has been everything you could ask for and more through two starts for the Phillies here. He's throwing strikes. He's only given up 1 walk so far this season. And while his fastball velocity isn't, you know, what it used to be before he got his surgery, he's finding a way to locate and is using his sweeper really effectively at over 32% so far. With, you know, Taijuan Walker ramping up here, and he is in Clearwater now, and we'll talk about him a little more in a minute here. But with him being ready to go soon, I'm not sure how you can take Turnbull out of this rotation, though, the way he's throwing right now. If he's pitching as well as he is and maybe go to a six-man rotation, but Turnbull's playing his way onto definitely being on this roster throughout the rest of the season. And if he doesn't start going forward, I will say he will be a great long man out of the pen to be able to have back there. So just great stuff from Turnbull so far. I feel like it's something that is sustainable because I just think the approach is really good from him right now. I really like the fastball sweeper mix that he's going with, and it just feels like he's kind of keeping hitters off balance a little bit. I know his velocity isn't what it used to be, but I think he's kind of reworked himself after the surgery and has made himself into a different type of pitcher, and you got to give a lot of credit to Caleb Cotham. It feels like he's kind of revitalized a lot of different guys throughout, you know, his tenure as Phillies pitching coach, but this is a project that has just really worked out so far for the Phillies, and if he can, again, stay with any type of consistency like this, I know he's going to give up runs this year. He hasn't given up a single run yet, but if he can, you know, limit damage the way he has and kind of get some weekly hit balls and pile up a couple strikeouts in the, you know, process, he's going to be a really big asset for this team. So really happy with what I've seen from Spencer Turnbull so far. But on Sunday, to wrap up the series, it'll be Zach Wheeler looking for his first win of the season, facing off against Mitch Keller. And with Wheels, he's just gotten absolutely no run support from his offense so far. I believe it's just four total runs in the three games that he started. I think he's going to be fine, although he made a couple mistakes in the last start against the Reds that kind of hurt him, particularly on that RBI double from Ellie De La Cruz. But he looks good. He's not walking, guys. He's getting hitters to chase outside the zone with his breaking stuff, including the splitter, which has looked really good. So it would be really nice to get Wheeler an early lead in this game, which is something that you should be able to do with Mitch Keller, as he's given up, you know, some early runs throughout the, his first three starts to begin the year. But Keller was pretty good for the Pirates last year and was an all-star, but it always feels like he gets away with some hard contact, and he'll walk guys as well, so they just need to be patient to play a little bit, which, again, hasn't been a strong suit of this team, especially with some of the guys who are struggling, like Castellanos, like Turner. So you hope that in their approach tonight, they can potentially, you know, be a little selective with what they're hitting at. But we'll see. And I just think that, or tonight, Sunday, I meant. But it'll be a good pitching matchup, and that will kind of be the series there. And we'll see if the Phils can, you know, take two or three this weekend or even sweep. It would be, I think, just a nice weight to get off their back. Just getting four games above 500 and having an opportunity with the easy schedule coming up to, you know, kind of take off and go as you get towards the end of April here. So moving on a little bit, wanted to give a quick little injury update on a couple guys. One I wanted to give is Orion Kerkering is down in Clearwater. He is coming back from that forearm strain. He struck out four out of his first five hitters he faced down there the other night. And getting him back in this bullpen would be huge. He'll add to the bullpen that has definitely been better as of late. And also, need to shout out Junior Marte, who's been absolutely awesome for the Phillies as of late. Had another scoreless appearance last night. Six scoreless appearances so far. Struck out the side last night, but he's just been really reliable so far. He's been utilized in a couple high leverage moments where, you know, because Hoffman's taking down some closing opportunities. Sir Anthony hasn't really been as effective as I think he'd like to be. But when they've called his number, he's been really good so far. Getting soft contact, getting chases, been really sharp with the slider-sinker combo. And I just think Junior Marte could be a real piece in this bullpen kind of going forward here. And it's kind of proved that he can take down some high leverage spots. He did a little bit in some areas last year when, you know, guys were hurt or the bullpen was just kind of taxed from the day before. But he's been really good. So once they get Kerkering back, Marte will still be in there. You'll have Hoffman. So you have some good right-handed options there while Sir Anthony's struggling a little bit. I think the left-handed guys have been better too. Strom's been better. Alvarado's been good. I kind of just trust these guys at this point, and I think that they are one of the best bullpens in baseball, and I know they got off to, you know, a rough start there in the first week, and Connor Brogdon got roughed up there a little bit. He also got roughed up in his first outing as a Dodger the other night I saw, but I think this bullpen is still among the elite in baseball, and I trust them. I trust them a lot, especially when they get Kerkering back, and he's using his slider and hopefully using his fastball a little more than he did last year. I think that this will be a bullpen that will be among the top in baseball in terms of ERA and stuff there out of the pen. So that is where I'm at with Kirkering. Tylan Walker, mentioned him before. He is rehabbing as well. I think he gave up, from what I saw, a couple runs in his debut down there in Clearwater. Again, with Turnbull pitching as well as he is, he can take his time. Tylan Walker can take his time coming back. I just think that the Phillies are kind of set right now with their rotation, and maybe they go to a six-man when Walker comes back. Maybe Turnbull goes to the bullpen to be a long man, but I will say that with Turnbull pitching as well as he has, they do not miss Tylan Walker in the slightest, and I really don't miss them him giving up three runs in the first inning and them having to climb out of a hole either. So I think they're in a good spot without Walker right now, actually, and we'll see how it all shakes out when he comes back. But didn't have the greatest first rehab appearance, so we'll see if it gets better for him and if that leads to him coming back in the near future here. So some stuff from around the league I want to bring up just before I get out of here. How about some of these pitchers going down here lately? Specifically Spencer Strider, and probably him being the most significant for the Phillies, but between him, Framber Valdez, Yuri Perez, Shane Bieber, Gerrit Cole, definitely missing some others, Loaiza from the Yankees too. I'm interested to see the fallout with the Player Association from these elbow injuries as time goes on. It seems like the Player Association people are suggesting that the pitch clock has something to do with this, but I don't know, man. I just feel like it has more to do with the fact that organizations around baseball are prioritizing velocity these days, and it's going to inevitably affect player health over the course of a long season. But getting back to the Strider injury specifically, I have to say it's a shame for baseball, and it's a shame for us as fans, I think, because I think Strider has become one of the more fun villains that the Phillies have, especially come postseason time. There's no doubt that he makes things more fun. And boy, is that a massive blow for the Braves. Their rotation gets significantly less deep with him out because you already have Ronaldo Lopez, who's former reliever and has been good so far for them, I will say, as your last starter right now. And I watched them throw this guy out there yesterday named Alan Winans is his name, against the Mets, and he just got absolutely destroyed. Gave up 6 earned, 8 hits, and 5 innings yesterday. So they have some real rotational issues right now, and Fried's also struggled so far this year, and we'll see if they can keep up the pace they've gone in the last couple years, because their offense is always going to be up to it. But I just question whether or not the starting pitching will be able to hold up there, and we'll see what happens with the Braves. But one other thing I had to touch on just really quickly, because boy, is this story getting crazier and crazier every time more information comes out. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, Ipe, $16.4 million it's up to now. That is unbelievable. And again, who knows how it all actually went down, if Shohei had anything to do with this, if he was the one gambling. It doesn't seem like it, but if Ipe is just the fall guy here, it is just, this is unbelievable. $16.4 million after it was alleged that it was just $4 million to begin. And that is just beyond comprehensible in terms of money. But it said that he did not bet on baseball. So that is big for Shohei, I will say, throughout this whole investigation, because that would have been something that would have caused major, major red flags for the league. And it didn't appear that he bet on baseball, but made a ton of other bets. I don't know what the total number was, but it was outrageous when you saw it. So crazy stuff out of, Ohtani land out there in California. But it's a story that's going to keep developing, so we'll see how it plays out here. But that is going to wrap it up for another edition of Phillies Today. Appreciate everyone who listened, and as always, we'll see what the Phillies can do over this little stretch here. So for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll see you.